95.1. Informed since 1946.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning. Welcome to God Talk. You know, Christianity has to be seen to be believed. It's a lot more than just a belief structure or a set of ideas. It has to be modeled. Someone's got to model it for it to be real. We sure do need models of our faith today. They're also called saints. Saints are those who have gone on before us, who have, as Timothy would say, have fought the good fight, kept the faith, done the works of love, finished the race, and received the crown that says, "Well done, O good and faithful servant." Something I would sure love to hear personally on the other side, rather than Hal. Ours is a world at war. It really is, certainly since 9/11. Yet not long ago, we ended the bloodiest century in human history. And the wars and violence continue. 9/11, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, ISIS, homeland terrorism, civil wars, unrest, insurrections, genocide, bombings, religious persecutions, drive-by shootings. The list goes on and on. Family breakdowns, domestic turmoil, there are epidemics in the land. Whatever happened to civility, respect, treating each other kindly, carefully? There's much more anger and disrespect covering the land. And I'm not even going to go into what others like to go into as to what's happened to our culture. But I want to say that there is an absence or a loss of the knowledge of God in the land, just as happened in the Northern Kingdom of Israel 2,700 years ago. For me, these words of the prophet Hosea in the Northern Kingdom of Israel, because it was Israel and Judah in the south, they ring true today in many ways. Hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel, for the Lord has an indictment against the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or loyalty, and no knowledge of God in the land. Swearing, lying, murder, and stealing and adultery break out. Bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who live in it languish. Together with the wild animals and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea are perishing. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's pretty heavy. Never, surely, have we needed peace and peacemakers more than today. We need peace within us, peace between us and others, peace in the world. We've not been able to bring peace to the world. What about bringing peace even to our own corner of the world, even here in Muscatine, where we sure need it? You know, Vladimir Lenin, who was born in 1870 and died in 1924, was probably the major communist leader in his lifetime. Set up Russia, became the head of the country. And purportedly on his deathbed, he recognized the evils of communism. And he said, what the world needs is a half a dozen people like St. Francis of Assisi. Boy, who was a great peacemaker. True peace isn't just something we have to strive for. True peace is actually God's gift. God makes us right with him. God will bring us peace. Shalom in the Hebrew means, first of all, peace with God. If you're at peace with God, then like ripples, you drop a rock in a pond, and each successive wave, beginning with God saying, "I forgive you," and then you need to be right with yourself, with your immediate family, your spouse, your children, your friends, and it goes all the way out to the edges of your pond. The peace with God that passes all understanding, it flows down from the top. Peace is a top-down phenomenon, just like rain. Jesus offered us his own peace shortly before he died for us. From John 14, I have said these things to you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The peace of Christ is the faith knowledge that everything will be all right eternally. Everything will work out. The Apostle Paul received this great peace of Christ, and he too taught it, and he taught us how to receive it. And this is from his letter written while he was in prison. You would think that would be a time that you wouldn't be joyful, but this is his most joyful of all the letters he ever wrote. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful, wonderful piece of scripture from Philippians 4. If there's time, I'll come back to it, because I want to get on to St. Francis. Of all the disciples, truly, who came after Jesus and Paul, none understood, lived, and made peace better than Francis of Assisi. He was a little runt, but a magnificent little guy who still continues to affect the church. He was born in 1181, and he died in 1226. That's been a while ago. He was born the son of a wealthy merchant in Assisi, Italy. And as a youth, he was a lover of pleasure, sport. Then he became a soldier. But then he was captured and imprisoned. And while in prison, weakened by serious illness, his religious conversion began. Once released and during a worship service, Francis heard the Lord tell him to, quote, rebuild my church. Subsequent to this, of course, at first, Francis thought that God meant physical buildings, you know, go and rebuild churches that are in disrepair, until God finally got through to him. I'm talking about the church, not the spiritual entity, not just physical buildings. Francis responded to Christ's summons to embrace what he called Lady Poverty. Abandoning his former life, he sought to establish a religious order to evangelize among the multitudes of the poor across Europe and beyond, in order to bring joy and love, certainly of Christ, to peasants, to the last, the least, and the lost, to those who needed that word of comfort the most. Pope Innocent III granted Francis' request in 1209. It's interesting, when Francis went to see the Pope to get a religious order, which became Friars Minor, in 1209, the Pope had a dream where he saw St. Peter's all at once tilt like it was going to fall. And then out of nowhere, this little guy who was Francis came and got it back to where it needed to be, supported it, and the next day there was the guy. So he bought into it. And by 1219, 10 years later, there were over 5,000 monks traveling all across Europe, bringing people in huge numbers to Christ in the church. And in 1219, Francis went to the Holy Land in an attempt to convert the Muslims to Christ. His mission, however, ended in failure. And he returned a year later in ill health, and in 1224, he received the highest honor in the Middle Ages, considered to be the direct sanction of Jesus Christ, the sign of the true Christ-likeness, the stigmata. The stigmata, there are signs of the nail holes driven in Christ's hands and feet during his crucifixion. Therefore, to receive visible signs of the stigmata, in Francis' case, knotty protuberances on his hands and feet, they were viewed as those willing and wanting to die with Christ for the sake of the salvation of the world. When he got them, he also received word that he would only live 2 years, and that's exactly what happened. He died in 1226 at age 45, but he died having changed the structure of the church, having set in motion through his religious order the spiritual force which would strengthen and renew the entire church, and continues to do that. This man of slight frame and ill health was a layperson. He was not a priest. He was a layman who had a great love of Christ. Wow. Now, in addition to some of his writings and more writings that people wrote about him, he has this incredible prayer that is attributed to him, the prayer of St. Francis. I've taken all this time to get you ready to hear it. Like the Lord's Prayer, it reveals who Francis was, what he set out to do. His task was simply to do the work of Jesus Christ, which is assigned to all Christians, to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons and daughters of God. Now, whether or not Francis himself wrote the prayer, it's his heart and soul to this present moment of how to live and work as Christ lived and worked. Christ did all these things. And here's the prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. One of the great prayers ever written. John Michael Talbot, a Christian music guy, writer and singer, put this prayer to music. And every time that first line, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace, I hear his voice, the way he, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. It brings peace, doesn't it? But it begins by our being willing to be made into instruments of peace. This is what Christ's work is all about. This is what we are to spread as Christians, my friends. Peace. The peace of Christ. In fact, in Luke's Gospel, in the 10th chapter, Jesus sends out, it's a big first time, 70 disciples in pairs to bring peace and healing to the land. Here it is from Luke 10. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, say first, peace to this house. You get that? You walk in, the first thing you say is peace. And if anyone there shares your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Have you ever said peace to someone and it's like it flew back at you and they kept giving you a dirty look? But if he says, then remain in the same house that they've accepted the peace, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and his people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say, the kingdom of God has come near you. Let's let those words sink in as we take a break for a weather report.
Wake up with KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1, your partner in agribusiness.
This is Haiti.
And this is Cinda.
Carriage House Carpet One is Muscatine's flooring store. It's time to start thinking about your spring home improvement projects. Haiti, Cinda, and the crew at Carriage House Carpet One are ready to help. They've been serving folks for over 40 years. Carriage House Carpet One also carries Lee Carpet. So whether you're in the mood for new carpeting or hardwood flooring or vinyl flooring, visit them today in historic downtown Muscatine at 121 East 2nd Street.
See you soon.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Scattered rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 56, winds out of the southeast 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight, lows dip down to about 48, cloudy. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow, high of 58. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 48 degrees.
Proud to be the radio station you come home to. This is KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
We are back. That's quite a passage from Luke 10. What would happen if we associated being Christian with being peacemakers rather than judgers, rather than critics? You know, Paul also taught his disciples to follow the way of peace, with peace serving as an essential part of what he called in Ephesians, the whole armor of God. And here's the passage, Ephesians 6:15. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Wow. So I ask you, when you enter a room, what's the first thing ordinarily that enters of your body? Your feet. So to walk in and say peace to this house and sincerely mean it is doing what Jesus told his disciples to do in Luke 10. Well, Francis was one of the great peacemakers. So let's go back and go through this prayer in a little more detail. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. If you could even say that every morning. Lord, before you begin your day outside your home, make me an instrument of your peace. This is a great request. We do, of course, need to be careful in praying this prayer because God is waiting for us to pray it in order to grant it. The rest of the prayer really tells us what it's like to be an instrument of peace, how to show that the kingdom of God is near. This is what you do if you would be an instrument of peace, enabled to do such through the power of the Holy Spirit, without which we cannot succeed. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. To bring the peace of God, we must first do the opposite of the world's practiced mandate of returning like for like, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, blow for a blow, evil for evil. Only works of love can bring God's kingdom nearer. For the kingdom is the domain of peace, love, and joy, their home of true belonging. Hatred only produces more hatred. That's just the way it is. Where there is injury, pardon. In Isaiah 53, it is said that the man who would become Jesus would not break a wounded reed, a broken reed, so delicate, so we must harm no one. That's in the Hippocratic Oath. Whatever you do, that's so big in Buddhism and other world religions. I wish it was as big in Christianity. Harm no one. But seek to bring all injuries to forgiveness and healing. Be an instrument of healing wherever you go, which is God's revealed will in Christ, to be reconcilers. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, Paul teaches. Be reconcilers, pardoners. Jesus told us, quoting the prophet Hosea, that what God wants from us is mercy, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Where there is doubt, faith. To turn doubt into faith is to give new life and freedom to become who you are. Can you be who you are in doubt? No, it takes faith even to be who you really are. Belief in yourself, belief in God. We are here to increase rather than decrease the faith in the world. You know, I thought about that with my life and my years in the parish. Have I increased faith? Jesus asks in the Gospels, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? Wow, will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he returns? Well, our mission is to ensure that, at least while we live in our place and way, that yes, there will be faith. Faith that is increasingly steadfast and unconditional as we strive to be prepared for Christ's coming. Where there is despair, hope. To turn despair into hope is to bring the promised better tomorrow into today, and to release the burden of hopelessness, depression, despair. Hope is the very breath of the Spirit of Christ, which we're called not only to receive ourselves, but to breathe to others, hope. And where you put your hopes is God. I don't know how God will do it, but I've got hope in God, not necessarily in this or that outcome, but in God, hope in God. Where there is darkness, light. To turn darkness into light is to ignite the holy torch of the Spirit of God, God's own goodness, in the heart of those who are in darkness, the nearly dead. Our job is to do what Jesus told all who would follow him from the great Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives a light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine. Wow. And where there is sadness, joy. To turn sadness into joy is kind of the equivalent of turning lead into gold, weight into wings, emptiness into fullness, drudgery into celebration. You know, just before Jesus was to suffer and die for us, he sought even then to instill joy into his disciples, joy for the eternal life to be theirs, which he said no one would ever be able to take from them. He said, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. To bring Christ is to bring his joy to others. I've got a picture in my office of a smiling Jesus. Actually, a laughing Jesus. Joy. Joyful, joyful. Wow. In the final half of the prayer and the time we have, okay, we see what it means to be a true servant. Don't forget that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, to be our servant. And he told his followers, whoever would be great among you must be like me, must be servants. The servant of God is the servant of love, of peace, of Christ. And this is the greatest person in God's sight. Therefore, does Francis, that great servant of servants, pray what we ought to pray and live? And this is the last segment, such as, wow. Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. Me first, to become genuine peacemakers, who Jesus calls the sons and daughters of God, we must look to the peace of others even before our own. This is the way of Jesus, to console, to find our own consolation, first of all, in consoling others. This is to do Christ's reconciling work. To be understood as to understand. Again, not me first. Understand me first. No. To seek to understand first rather than being understood is an effective way to resolve human conflicts. When people sense that you actually are hearing them, even if you end up disagreeing, if they feel heard that you're seeking to understand them, guess what? Generally speaking, they're on your side and they will respect you. It's a great way to restore peace in human relationships. If we wait until the other understands us first, before we strive to understand the other, we'll likely never get there, nor enter the kingdom of peace, which unfortunately too few do. To be loved as to love. To be loved as to love. To love first is to set in motion the way of love in the world. Wherein what we sow will come back 20, 40, 60, 100-fold. This Christ promises. Fulfillment comes from loving. I was taught in seminary, love the people and preach the gospel in that order. Love the people. People first, and everything else will be yours. For it is in giving that we receive. The giver receives a fullness and joy in giving that the receiver can neither see nor grasp. It's the fullness of God, who in Christ receives himself in giving himself. If you don't know the joy and what you receive from giving to others, you're missing out, folks. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. You know, as you forgive, so you shall be forgiven. As we judge, so we shall be judged. As we give, so we shall receive. Forgive, and you too shall be forgiven. This is God's sovereign promise through Christ, in whom it becomes reality. Forgive as one already forgiven. Finally, and it is in dying that we're born to eternal life. You cannot save yourself by anything you do. Yet through giving your lives in service of Jesus Christ and the kingdom and being a peacemaker, you'll receive it back. You'll be born anew in Christ's endless kingdom of peace and love. And you'll be ready for it because you will have been living it. Self-giving for the sake of peace is Christ's path in the world and our birthing process into God. That's the way it is, folks. Wow. If you'd like to hear this show again, I will be putting it on my website today at drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. Or if you would like me to address any issue for you in Christianity, anything you want to talk about God, email me at drhalgreen@gmail.com, drhalgreen@gmail.com. Well, I'm going to say this wonderful prayer yet again and just kind of listen to it and see if it strikes you. In fact, if you could, just pray it with me. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. God bless you all.
This is your home in the country. KWPC, K236CF, Muscatine.
KWPC.
This is Levi Schmidt with Rule and Rule.